Please do be seated. And do keep your partnership news in your hands, because I'd just like to draw your attention to one particular notice on page 7, which is the Partnership Lent course. And as you'll see, the first session is I Believe in God the Father Almighty, which will be delivered by Charles Royden, creator of heaven and earth. The following two sessions will be delivered by more humble beings, Jane and myself. So, and I just thought we had aspirations to be bishops. Thank you also to the teams at St Mark's last night in showing great humility. To our colleagues from Putney. And it's not a question about general knowledge, but I think it's more a question about the choices of the answers that were submitted by the table. And John, you and I know, sometimes people just don't listen, do they? They absolutely make, they listen and they make the wrong choice. I spoke, I think it was a couple of 3 weeks ago, about one of the films that I'd seen recently, The King's Speech. Brilliant speech, and I think a brilliant film, and I think some people have been to see that recently. But one of my favourite films of all times is The Matrix. That came out in about 1999, I think it was. And it's, for those of you not familiar with the film, it's a sci-fi film, and the reality that people perceive is actually a virtual reality. And there's a computer programmer, a hacker, Thomas Anderson, who's trying to work out, keeps getting messages on his screen about the Matrix, and he's trying to work out what the Matrix is. And eventually he meets up with some people who have broken out of this virtual reality and are sort of battling against the Matrix. And there's a point in the film which is brilliant. So Thomas Anderson is now become known as Neo, and he meets another of these hackers called Morpheus. And Morpheus holds his hand out, and he's got a blue pill and a red pill. And essentially, Neo can now take the choice. He can take the blue pill, and he'll go back to his old life, and he won't find out the real truth about the world and about life and about the Matrix. Or he can take the red pill, and he can move forward. And, you know, there's the red pill or the blue pill. And as you'd expect, Neo takes the red pill and the rest is history. Because if he'd taken the blue pill, the film wouldn't have happened. But there's a sense in which the Israelites, in our reading from Deuteronomy, find themselves in that position. So Deuteronomy, sometimes seen as Deuteronomus, the second numbering of the people of Israel, or quite often it's just seen as a summary of what's happened so far, it summarises where the Israelites are, right in where we have the reading. They're at the end of their wanderings, they're just about to cross into the promised land, and it's as if Moses is summarising history so far. And then in verses, chapters 30, 31 and 32, he's actually summarising what's happened up until now in Deuteronomy. And he's, the passage we had read for us today summarises a bit. I think it comes from Deuteronomy 15. Might be 12, I should have checked. But I think it's 15. Certainly comes on the left-hand side of the page. tell how my memory works. But he's summarising and he's saying, you've got a choice to make. It's a blue pill, red pill moment. Do you want to choose the blessings? Do you want to choose the richness of moving into the promised land? Or do you want to choose not to do that and face the consequences of that decision? Very clear choice that they had to make. They've been wandering and sometimes they've been happy, sometimes they've been grumbling. And they're at the point now where they're just about to move into the promised land. And they have to make a choice. Do they want to go forward with God, or do they want to go back? Do they want to be finally reconciled with God in the land that has been promised to them in Scripture, or do they not? Do they want to receive the blessings that God can offer through being reconciled to Him and to each other, or do they want to accept the curses and the consequences of turning their back on Him? It's a choice they have to make between reconciliation with God, final reconciliation with God and the community of the Israelites, or going their separate way. The theme of reconciliation is one that Jesus picks up in the Gospel reading. And we're all a bit familiar with bits of the Gospel reading, and we often hear the bits quoted about adultery and divorce. They're, you know, quite famous bits when people are trying to justify a particular perspective or a particular position. But it's important to see those comments about murder and adultery and divorce and about swearing oaths in the context in which they're written. Because Jesus, first of all, introduces that piece by talking about reconciliation. Now, remember, we're in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew written to a broadly Jewish audience. And if you remember what happened at the end of last week's readings, it was all about your righteousness needs to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. He then goes and talks about reconciliation and then says, you have heard it said that. So they probably heard it said that in the synagogues. And yes, it could be true that Jesus is commenting on the two main schools of rabbinic teaching at the time. You can see in the notes there's some comments about that. One being quite conservative from Shammai, one being a bit more progressive from Hillel. But Jesus isn't necessarily just commenting on rabbinic teaching. What he's urging the hearers to do is to see beyond the law. That's where the fulfillment of the law is. It's not about, have I done this, tick the box. It's about understanding the sense which is behind the law. And when Jesus is talking about divorce and adultery, he's talking about those things which would rip apart a community that's as close-knit and as tight as it was for the first century believers. The focus is on reconciliation, not on a particular aspect of teaching of the law. Now, I'd also say, you know, we shouldn't fudge what Jesus teaches, but we need to see his comments in the context in which they're written. And he's just been talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. He's just talking about the law. And therefore, to take the comments that he makes out of that context probably doesn't make a lot of sense. He's talking about reconciliation. Be reconciled. And it's interesting, it doesn't say, if you have something against your brother or sister, go and get reconciled. It says, if they've got something against you, you take the initiative. You go and be reconciled to them. Because part of being God's creation, just as the Israelites found when they moved into the Promised Land, is about being reconciled to God and being reconciled to each other. And reconciliation is tough. Reconciliation generally involves a couple of things. Reconciliation involves facing the truth, facing the honest facts, maybe facing the brutal truth, and then choosing to do something about it. A red pill or a blue pill? Do you want to go back and do nothing with the blue pill? Do you want to go forward with the red pill? Jesus wants us to be reconciled to each other. That's, in some ways, the primary focus of the gospel reading today. Let's not get tied down in the minutiae of the law, but understand what Jesus is really saying behind that, which comes across in the first verses of the Gospel reading, which is about reconciliation to each other so we can be reconciled to God. Facing the facts and then choosing to do something about it, even if we feel it's not ourselves that has caused the breakdown in relationships. And if you look at the world, if you look at individuals, families, communities, nations, the disjoints that that lack of reconciliation causes is enormous. It fractures families. It fractures nations. It fractures the world. And God is about being reconciled to each other. Love your neighbour as yourself. It's hard, but that will involve being reconciled. Now, these red pill, blue pill moments, maybe they're not as big as the Israelites had to face. You know, maybe it isn't as a major, major event that we need to go and get sorted out. But day by day, in all of our decisions, often we have choices to make. And God says, make the choices that will help reconciling you to each other and reconciling the world and us as individuals to God. Paul then says, and here's why reconciliation and the choices we make are really important. Because Paul talks in the epistle reading about we're called to be collaborators with God, fellow workers with him, not equals with him, but working with him in the task of making his kingdom come more and more in the world today. Now we could say that's the true fulfillment of the law, if we're taking it from a Matthean sort of Jewish perspective. But God wants us to be collaborators, to work with him. He wants us to be reconciled to each other so that we are much more of a mobile force and a real force for him in the world. So that through being reconciled to each other, through being reconciled to God, so we can bring reconciliation to the world, and so we can help in reconciling the world to God by being collaborators with him, by being fellow workers. Paul says it isn't a question of who's the best leader. It's not a question of who's got the best teaching. It's a question of understanding what God's will for the world is and aligning ourselves to that and being his co-workers. That may involve us in being reconciled to each other as a first step. That may involve us in taking a first step. That may involve us in reaching out to somebody. It may involve us in facing truths that have remained sort of hidden or buried for years. But that's a choice that we have to make. Day by day we have these red pill, blue pill moments. Do we want to step out in faith, being further reconciled to each other and to God? Or do we want to take the blue pill and just leave things as they are? Amen.
Amen.